Moncrief on News Talk.
When Spotify suggests music choices to you, how does that algorithm actually work? Glenn MacDonald is a former Spotify employee, a fan of Cactus World News, and the author of Have You Have Not Heard Your Favourite Song. Afternoon, Glenn.
Hello.
Now, you in your book, you say that Spotify uses an advanced form of surveillance capitalism, which sounds extremely terrifying. What did you mean by that?
Well, this is a criticism often leveled at not just Spotify, but a lot of technology companies, that they do surveillance capitalism. And it's at least technically true. Like, it is capitalism, and Spotify does know everything that you play because that's how it works. But it's only surveillance in the same way that your credit card company knows everything you buy, because, again, that's how it works. Mm. Spotify wishes it could read your mind and always know exactly what you want next, but in reality, it can't.
And when when the algorithm is suggesting, when it says, you know, you've listened to this piece of music, and then it suggests another piece of music, what variables is it taking into account there? Is it just the piece of music, or maybe where you are in the world, your age, other factors like that?
In theory, it could be all of those things, and different Spotify features work different ways, but most of them are just ultimately based on what people are listening to. So you listen to something, and all the other people who listen to it listen to a variety of things, but there's patterns to that. So if you're listening to Cactus World News, the other people are probably listening to Big Country and the Waterboys and then Jericho and U2. And they might be also listening to Ariana Grande and Ed Sheeran and Taylor Swift, but lots of people are listening to those things. And the people listening to strange 80s Irish and Welsh and Scottish music, that's what makes them different.
Yeah. But though at the same time, if you're listening to, you know, music from the 1980s, I would imagine in percentage terms, there's less of a chance you're going to want to listen to Taylor Swift, for instance.
Yeah, and there's less of a chance that you'll get that recommended.
All right, okay. And so when you worked there, was that your job to figure those things out?
Yeah, my funny title was data alchemist, and I always explain that if a scientist is trying to figure out the truth, an alchemist is just trying to turn stuff into other stuff.
Yeah.
So the stuff for me was listening data. Like, there's 500 or 600 million people listening, and they don't do that randomly. They do it with human musical tastes. And that's a lot of information that tells you how the culture of music works. And you can use math, and ultimately algorithms are just, it's a fancy way of saying math, to try to find the patterns in that and sort of give the collective knowledge of humanity back to it as listening insights.
Yeah. And you're sure it doesn't use location? Because it's happened to me, like, that I've been on Spotify. I look up a Funkadelic song and it recommends the Wolftones, which are two bands from not only different parts of the world, different universes, let's say. So it must be going, oh, you're in Ireland, you're bound to like this stuff.
Well, it does know what country you signed up in.
Yeah.
And it does know, because it's an internet application, where your internet connection reaches it, which is sometimes where you are. Sometimes it's like not quite where you are, because it goes through like a cell phone provider's central hub. Most of that doesn't feed into recommendations, though. If something happens that feels to you like it relies on where you are, you'll notice it. And so you'll think it does. But then if you think back on it, you realize like the other, you know, the 20 recommendations before that didn't have anything to do with where you were.
Yeah. Okay. So that might be a factor occasionally.
I mean, it is a thing that we all the streaming services sort of know about you, like approximately where you are. It's a little too error prone to really use on an individual level. It's super interesting on a global level, like analytically. You can find out what's different about listening in Dublin versus Manila versus Pittsburgh that way. Mm. But it doesn't really help on the individual recommendation level, because A, your location could be wrong. like where you are physically is not where your phone signal is ultimately reaching Spotify from. And B, like there's nothing to say that your tastes have to have anything in common. You may be in Dublin, but you mostly listen to country music from Nashville,
yeah,
or vice versa.
Yeah. And you were laid off from Spotify. Was that as part of a kind of a general job cut?
Yeah, there were 1,500 people laid off at once. Spotify got very big and needed to be smaller.
Yeah. Could we infer something from that? Is there something happening? Because, as you know, people are very critical even of Spotify as a model for paying artists. So might that imply that artists are going to be paid even less?
Oh, I mean, I think layoffs were not related to paying artists less. All streaming services have the same basic deal where the amount that gets paid in royalties is a percentage of revenue. So it doesn't matter. Like laying people off or hiring more people is a matter for the streaming service, for its profitability. But basically the licensors get paid first.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And people coming and going doesn't matter to artists.
But you defend Spotify as a model for paying artists.
The way in which royalties are paid is a like absurdly complicated topic, but the way it works now, which is it's called a pro rata model, basically you pool all the money and you divide it up according to share of all the streams, and all the streaming services work the same way, is you could speculate, and people often speculate, that it is biased towards the most popular artists. But that's just a guess. And working at Spotify, I was able to actually just run the numbers and find out. And what I found out was that model is actually a very slight subsidy currently of the less popular artists by the most popular artists. Not enough to really help, but it is marginally progressive in economic terms.
Glenn, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Glenn McDonald there, author of You Have Not Heard Your Favorite Song.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.